Good afternoon. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network on this Wednesday, March the 11th. I'm Randy Conan, along with Kara Hart, along with Megan Turnquist. We'll also hear from Kara Hart as well. The World Health Organization has declared the coronavirus outbreak a pandemic. That's sending the stock markets downward once again, with the Dow down over 1,100 points within the last hour. As of today, 114 countries have reported 118,000 cases, and just over 1,000 coronavirus infections have been diagnosed in the U.S., 40 states declaring positive or confirmed cases.
For the third day in a row, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of soybeans to unknown destinations. Today's sale is 194,000 metric tons. 126,000 tons is old crop, or for the current marketing year. 68,000 tons is new crop, or for the 2021 marketing year that begins September 1st. USDA is also reporting old crop sales of 123,000 tons on Monday, 123,500 tons on Tuesday, both to unknown destinations.
Soybeans found a little bit of support from the third day in a row sales of soybeans to unknown destinations. Corn Belt marketing analyst Larry Clay said the soybean meal has been the driver.
The one thing that you have to be, when you look at the soybeans meal, as meal goes, so goes the soybean complex. And the other day we had a big sell-off in soybean oil. Palm oil was a big part of that in the Asian markets there, helped the sell-off. But meal was able to maintain at this point in time. It's still a bigger part of that bean when you go through the crushing process. And if we can hold meal together, that's definitely going to help these beans hold together a little bit.
And Clay says tighter soybean supply is also giving the soybeans a potential story.
And again, we came through a report yesterday that was basically a cookie cutter from the February report in terms of numbers and so forth from the government. But we still have, you know, 425 million. It still says that if we have a wiggle in weather or a problem out there, beans are probably more vulnerable to the upside with that in mind, as we're certainly, we're not tenuous today, but if there is a hiccup, soybeans are going to reflect that probably first and foremost.
Day one of the International Sugar Beet Institute is underway in Grand Forks. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead says discussions about the recently announced disaster assistance for sugar beet growers is a positive move.
The WIP Plus disaster program, based on our past 2 years of tough harvests, specifically for the American Crystal District, it would be 2019 losses due to the excess rain. That got pushed through and is coming to an end. We're waiting a final signatures from USDA on how distribution will happen, but I think we're just about there. We just need some legalities to be worked out.
At this point, both farmers and lenders are waiting on the final go-ahead for the WIP Plus payments.
It was a big sigh of relief for a lot of people. Now it's just to wait and see how much can actually get into each grower's hands. It's not intended to make growers whole or make them profitable, but hopefully it'll provide enough of a boost where we can get a crop in the ground this year with a little bit more confidence. Because this disaster affected several co-ops, certainly not just the Red River Valley, but several of the 11 states that raise sugar beets were affected by disasters. Once the co-ops get their specific dollar amount, it's up to the co-ops to determine how they will distribute it to their shareholders. And each one of the co-ops will do it differently, I'm assuming.
The weather ramifications of 2019 left part of the sugar beet crop in the ground. What can be done with those unharvested beets? American Crystal Sugar Company General Agronomist Joe Hastings says growers were advised to defoliate and then leave the beets in the ground.
Gets that nitrogen from those leaves worked into the ground and more available quicker. Don't work them as erect, because then they'll deteriorate faster and you won't get these carcasses, these beet carcasses, drying out on top of the ground. Probably the first crop we're going to recommend for planting would be a soybean crop, and maybe you can seed in between those rows, offset that planter to go down the middle. You don't have to worry about the nitrogen concerns then with soybeans, because the nitrogen tie up from all the organic, you know, carbon in the beets and things like that. So it's a good option to put some beans. It gives you a little bit more time as far as the planting too.
And with a non-legume crop like wheat, Hastings says more nitrogen would be needed to put down before planting. Soil testing in the spring is also very important.
You know, in soil test, if you got areas of the field that were harvested and were not harvested, keep those in mind and soil test them different, not just this year, but going forward as well. Even maybe the next time you have beets, just to make sure, hey, how's it look? You know, 75% of our acres go on old wheat ground. So I think a lot of the wheat at least had one tillage pass over it and got that wheat off for this year's crop. There'll be some residue to work in, and I think we just got to be cautious. Don't get too aggressive. Keep a nice seed bed. Be patient that way as far as this year's crop.
Farmers are firing up the combines again to finish up the 2019 harvest. Once the crop is off, there may be bigger issues like residue and ruts. Lakota, North Dakota-based Huso Crop Consulting owner Mark Huso says it will take work to get fields back into planting condition. In addition, very little field work was done last fall.
So we discussed tillage practices, what we can do, how to get the fertilizer on, if we're going to use anhydrous, if we're going to use urea, if we're going to top dress after the field has been seeded. You know, you certainly want to get a starter fertilizer on your wheat, on your corn. Other crops maybe can change a little bit. I guess phosphate and canola, very important. We'll be split applying on some corn fields. We'll be split applying nitrogen on wheat fields, barley fields, or putting it all over the top after seeding if we can. If fertilizer is an issue come springtime when we can't get it when we want to plant the field, we'll simply put it on afterwards if we have to.
Here's a sure sign of spring. Road restrictions are going in place in central and northern frost zones of Minnesota. They go into effect on Friday. The Minnesota Department of Transportation said spring load restrictions have already begun in other frost zones of the state. Frost zones and restricted routes can be found on Minnesota Department of Transportation's website, MnDOT.gov. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. As farmers resume corn harvest, quality remains a concern. Leeds, North Dakota farmer Eric Jorgensen says the crop isn't as good as he had hoped. Test weight and yields are on the low end.
It's not a disaster, but the yield is not, I would say, slightly below average. Test weights have been a struggle. It's been hard to find decent test weight corn. It's been a lot of 50 to 52 pound corn. Some of it's been in the 40s. It got a little better over the winter, but it's still certain varieties are struggling to get the 50 pounds.
Jorgensen goes on to say 48 pound corn is currently being accepted by elevators in the area. At one point, the intake was restricted to 52 pounds or higher.
However, it was a lot of kind of bleak outlook there for a while with the melting of the snow and looking, you know, early March, and where you can see some bare ground. You can definitely see more optimism in guys now on, you know, that spring is coming and hopefully we can get through this and get a crop in the ground again. There's a lot of ground that didn't get worked at all. There was no fall tillage done on it, which is rather important in our area. We have a lot of, well, heavier soil, and it could be a challenge to get those acres back.
The Northern Commodity Transportation Conference set to get underway shortly. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Kara Hart reports.
In the next half hour, the Northern Commodity Transportation Conference begins. This afternoon's lineup kicks off with a keynote speaker, Bays & Associates President John Bays. Also, a look at how transportation impacts basis with NDSU Extension Crops Economist and Marketing Specialist Frain Olson. There will also be two panel discussions this afternoon. One is focused on trade opportunities, and the other will be focused on transportation and infrastructure. This is the first year for this conference. Be sure to follow along for updates from the Red River Farm Network's Facebook and Twitter pages. You can follow us at RRFN. Reporting agriculture's business from Bloomington, Minnesota, and the Northern Commodity Transportation Conference, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
Biofuel groups are standing their ground, asking the Trump administration to reject an appeal of the court decision. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals was given until March 24th to determine if it will appeal a lower court decision on small refinery waivers. National Corn Growers Association President Kevin Ross explains.
You know, the Tenth Circuit Court decision was something that solidified our discussion, or at least our points made about the EPA's abuse of the small refinery exemptions. All of us, I think, that are certainly representing the groups that we do, believe that the EPA had been abusing this for quite some time over the last few years. And this decision by the Tenth Circuit Court really just backs that up and for us, proves us correct in the way we have been discussing this for quite some time.
Renewable Fuels Association board member Eric Hushett backs up Ross's comments by saying the EPA had to be held accountable.
For the astonishing number of small refinery exemptions granted the past few years, if you recall, 85 petitions were granted already between 2016 and 2018. The Tenth Circuit Court ruling, it was unanimous panel decision on three major pillars in the case, and it confirmed exactly what the farm communities have been saying for years.
Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration shows ethanol production for the week ending March 6th at 1.04 million barrels per day. That's down 3% from the previous week. It is 3% more, though, than a year ago. Ethanol stocks down 600,000 barrels at 24.3 million.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has authorized funding to help the state response to a potential coronavirus outbreak. This includes $21 million for the Public Health Response Contingency Account. The funds will be added to the existing $4.6 million. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. According to UPL, Northern Crops Marketing Manager Kathleen Setzinger, this is the time for the wheat growers to prepare for the season ahead.
Well, I think everybody's thinking ahead of how can I start clean in my fields and that long residual that they're going to need. And just, you know, planning. Everybody's in that planning mode right now. What can I put down? What's going to give me the best results?
A year ago, UPL completed its acquisition of Arista Life Science. Setzinger says that has resulted in a broader portfolio for wheat farmers that takes on more importance with the concern of weed resistance.
When you start looking at your resistant weeds, it comes back to having that multiple mode of action and knowing what that weed is actually resistant to, and then planning your herbicide treatment accordingly to make sure what you're putting out there will control it, and you're not spending money where you don't need to.
The new Enlist technology provides new flexibility to the grower. Corteva Agriscience new technology specialist Josh Wilson says this is critical during a compressed planting season.
So E3 soybeans has tolerance to glufosinate, glyphosate, as well as 2,4-D choline found in Enlist herbicides. And you can actually apply an Enlist herbicide right up to planting on a soybean. So when we get pushed back at the end, we can always come in there right ahead of time, utilize a product like that for burn down while getting us another residual out there.
Wilson says this strategy considers post-emergence control of tough weeds.
It's like kochia, water hemp, Palmer amaranth, the ragweed species, maristail. So those problems that you're thinking about, as far as the Enlist system goes, fits very, very well.
Checking markets before we leave you this noon hour. Wheat Minneapolis trading 5 cents lower. The Chicago wheat's down 7.25 in the May. Kansas City's down 6. Corn trading 3 lower. May beans are down 0.5. November soybeans down 2.25. May canola down 190 a metric ton. April live cattle down $1.65. We're down $1.97 in the June. April feeder cattle down $4.22. The May down $4.50. That's the limit. And April lean hogs down $1 right now. May lean hogs down 80 cents. Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.